Good evening. The show begins tonight, a conversation with Elizabeth Peake from Fox and The Hill about the American economy, which continues to be a K-shaped economy. The upper bar, the boomers and the senior Gen Xers or millennials, are doing very well and spending money. That holds the consumer numbers high. The downside bar, the working class, the people who drive Ford 150s and don't count on salaries, they do piecework. They're vital to maintaining the culture, but they're not at the high end of the bar. They're worrying about the price of gasoline and the price of meat and the price of food, the K-shaped economy. The vote, however, is one direction. Thumbs down for the administration. Severely bad numbers in the Gallup. Are they recoverable? Probably not. But I observe from the outside. I have not been in a campaign knowing what you can say and what you can't on the national economy. I then turn to a conversation about not just about the Gallup poll, but about how it relates to the foreign policy that we're now seeing not going well with the Middle East, with the Straits of Hormuz, with the Islamic Republic of Iran, with Israel, with Hezbollah, not going well at all. It is not clear why Donald Trump takes the command of all these matters. He's got staff enough for him to be several layers away from the conversation. But he's right there, and he wants to tell us about how it went this way or that way. What we wind up with is several versions of the same event, and there's no knowing which one is accurate and which one will be put in play. It's not always the accurate one that gets play. So the mystery continues, Donald Trump's foreign policy. His domestic policy is clear. He wants the price of gasoline down. But that relates to the foreign policy, of course. Who's on first? And a conversation with Michael Toth of Civitas I greatly enjoyed because it's about corporate governance in America and how the state of Texas is passing laws and making statements that are extremely business-friendly and winning corporations to move their official domicile number to Texas and their corporate headquarters and their registration as corporate players in Texas. It's worth a deal of money, $2 billion a year, I believe, to Delaware, but they're leaving Delaware, and the big one is Exxon, which for 150 years has been in New Jersey. It's moving to Texas. And it was advised against by the firms that analyze these things, I learned from Michael Toth. But the shareholders voted more than 71% to move to Texas, so they're going to Texas, the whole operation. That makes sense. Exxon is an energy company, and Texas is filled with energy, human energy, natural gas, oil, shale oil. The puzzle is why anybody wants to be anywhere else but Texas or Tennessee or Florida, where there's no state taxes and their business environment is friendly. Even outreaching. Michael tells me that the rage several years past was ESG. I couldn't even tell him right away what ESG was. Environment, social, and governmental. It was a way of judging countries on the basis of a limited experience in the world. The sort of thing you find monsters elsewhere. But that was then, this is now. Then a conversation with Judy Dempsey in Berlin about the populist rising of AFD, the populist rising of MAGA, the story about the U.S. talking to European allies about moving nuclear-capable bombers and aircraft to new countries where they could house a nuclear weapon, a gravity bomb, supervised by the United States, but it would be in their territory. The thinking in Europe is that this is to give them confidence that the withdrawal of American troops doesn't mean the end of NATO. I discussed with Gregory Coppolater why a nuclear weapon makes people feel secure. It is a terror weapon. It is not a tactical or strategic weapon. It ends the conversation for everyone. And if it doesn't, the next one will. I understand the Soviets, now Russians, use nuclear weapons on the battlefield to open breakouts, whereas the NATO version is to close breakouts, to close holes. Both of them are not convincing me they know how you can operate in an environment where the nuclear weapons have been used. Asking troops to go in such an environment sounds, well, self-destructive. That's the big piece in the Financial Times. Other conversations to do with Europe, we concentrated on AFD, which has a sweet spot of being a critic of everything that the government is doing, the majority government in the Bundestag. This time next year, maybe 2 years, it will be the Christian Democrats and the Social Democrats complaining against the AFD in power. And then we'll be in a fine fix with AFD frustrated and Germany frustrated, similar to the way Parliament is frustrated now. Gregory Copley tried to explain parliamentary politics to me. I followed most of it, didn't quite understand the relationship between Labour and the Tories. They seem to have reversed course several times over the last 150 years. In any event, it was a pleasure to learn what I could about parliamentary politics. I'm much more interested when we talked about King Charles and constitutional monarchy. Charles is a brave man. He's working very hard to train his son to take his place when and if Charles must leave us. Gregory is assured that Charles will be with us as long as we need him. There's much more to the show. I hope you enjoy it. Thank you for listening. Good night.